20 minutes after 4 o'clock here on Downtown, the day after for Patriots fans. Let's break down what happened and try to find some positives if we can, as we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Rich Hill of Pat's Pulpit. Rich, positives. Nobody else got hurt. Is that good?
I don't even know if we can say that. Starting guard Josh Klein went down with a shoulder injury pretty late on in the game. So that's something to monitor. But, I guess no one else got hurt. So no other skill player got hurt. So I guess that's the best takeaway you can get from it.
Well, so many things that went wrong yesterday. The receiver core really exposed yesterday. I saw the numbers today that the Patriots lead the NFL with 41 drops this season. And the fact that Tom Brady had more receiving yardage than Brandon LaFell tells you quite a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we're seeing the real point in the year where the depth has to come out to play, especially with all the injuries. And it's getting very, very apparent that when you lose your top tight end in Rob Gronkowski, you lose your top wide receiver in Julian Edelman, and you lose your top running back in Deion Lewis, and arguably your top offensive lineman in Nate Solder. It just means that Tom Brady has to put far too much of this team on his back, and he doesn't really have enough of a supporting cast in order to pull that off anymore.
No, and he was a man under siege yesterday, the two interceptions, but so many hurries, and also took a lot of hits yesterday. And I know sitting there late in the game before they made the comeback, I was thinking maybe this would be a good time to get Brady out of there and get Jimmy in and save number 12 for bigger things. But, of course, he rallied the team and at least gave them a shot at the end. But I thought maybe they would give him a little break, but then again, that's not Coach Bill's way.
I agree with that, and I was in the same boat as you when it was getting into the fourth quarter and the Patriots had to punt with a little over half of the final period to go, and then all of a sudden they had this furious comeback. But up until that point, I mean, Brady's been hit 12 times in the game, sacked 4 times, and he was hardied an additional 13, so this offensive line is not giving him any time back in the pocket. And actually, according to NFL's Doug Kide, over 50% of the hits that opposing teams have laid on Tom Brady have happened in the past 3 weeks. So I think that this is an issue that the Patriots need to focus on, and I don't really see a real solution on the horizon.
Well, part of that, too, is because there was no mystery to what they were going to do. Were you at all surprised that they only ran LeGarrette Blount 13 times?
I was a little bit. I mean, Blount, he had a ton of success, too, and I was kind of calling for them to give him the ball a little bit more early on. And you look at the review of the Eagles before the game, and you saw that their nose tackle, Benny Logan, was dealing with an injury, just added to the report. And they hadn't really been able to stop too many of the opposing rushers. And I think the game got away from the Patriots. I mean, there were three straight Eagles scores that came off of returns. And you can't really expect that to happen, and it kind of threw the Patriots through a loop. And, you know, they had to resort to throwing James White out there, have the Patriots start slinging the ball. And I don't know. I mean, I typically would have hoped to see Blount out there being a little more productive, but I don't really think that it's an indictment of his performance and ability so much as just the game just getting so far out of hand.
We're talking with Rich Hill of Pat's Pulpit. You wrote about it today that one of the things Chip Kelly did, and it paid off for him, was to target this banged-up Patriots linebacker core.
Yeah, it's very, very true. After the game, Chip Kelly was asked why the Eagles wanted to use Darren Sproles out there and Kendron Barner instead of their marquee free agent acquisition, DeMarco Murray, out of the backfield. And Chip Kelly kind of just came out and said, you know, you look at this Patriots team, look at their defense, and they have some big linebackers out there. Jerod Mayo, Jonathan Freeney, Jamie Collins, they're all over 250 pounds. They're all big players. They're all very, very athletic. But when it comes down to breaking down in space, they're not able to keep up with the players like Sproles as well. They can't really change direction as well as some of the lighter players. And you saw Darren Sproles. He had 100 yards on the day. He was very, very productive attacking Jonathan Freeney over the middle of the field.
Now, there were some comments about officiating. I saw some posts this morning on social media about some false starts that may not have been called on the Eagles. But how much of this was on the officiating crew, and how much of it was just on poor execution by the Patriots?
Oh, 100% was just poor execution with the Patriots. You look at, I think the number was 8 missed false starts. That was kind of serious, But, you know, a lot of them would have been ticky-tacky if they had been called. Looking in retrospect, it was clear that the refs, you know, they weren't going to stop them. The Eagles were on the road, and they wanted to let them play. They couldn't call and throw a flag every single time. And they caught Jason Peters in the first quarter, and they threw a flag on that one, and the Eagles continued to do it. It really would have disrupted the game if they kept doing it. And you look at the missed penalties that came on the Patriots. I mean, the officials missed a clear hand to the helmet of Sam Bradford and on a key third down. The Eagles were still able to convert it, but the officials pocketed their flag. So they were definitely letting both sides play there. So I don't think the Patriots can really blame any of this loss on the officials. And in all honesty, I think more of the blame lays with the coaching staff than anyone.
Well, so 10-2 now, and no longer as the number one seed, going to Houston for a game that 3 or 4 weeks ago looked like a layup, but suddenly this Texan defense has been all world of late.
Yeah, and you look at it, the Texans are actually tied for the division lead with the AFC South, and they're tied with the Colts there. So this is actually a battle between two divisional leaders, which I don't think anyone is really expecting. And if you want to put one team out there that is most familiar with the Patriots and their tactics, it's going to be the Texans. I mean, they have Vince Wilfork leading their defense and Romeo Crennel, who's a former defensive coordinator for the Patriots. And then their head coach is Bill O'Brien, who's a former offensive coordinator for the Patriots. So this is a team that will definitely know the Patriots' tendencies. Hopefully the Patriots will be getting some of their players out there again. Maybe Danny Amendola will be slightly healthier. Dont'a Hightower might be ready to play. Patriots need these guys out there. They can't afford to lose another game if they want to hope to have a bye week. They can't really drop any games due to the Broncos holding the tiebreaker. And I don't know, this is going to be a tougher game than anyone would have ever expected. And hopefully the Patriots defense is ready to rise up to the challenge.
Well, clearly they have to take care of business and win, but they can also get some help in getting a bye and maybe getting back. It's a long shot, but it's still getting back to that number one seed. And you guys wrote about some of the playoff scenarios on Pat's Pulpit. It could certainly happen, and it doesn't require anything really bizarre happening over the last few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. And what really has to happen is the Patriots, they have to win out if they want to control their destiny. And they can't afford to drop any games, as we said. And if they're able to finish the season 14-2, that would be absolutely fantastic. I mean, that would rank right up there with one of Bill Belichick's best seasons. And you can't really knock that, especially with Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski expected to return before the playoffs. And I think that would be a great sign moving forward if they're able to right the ship and finish this final quarter of the season on a good note. But really, all the Patriots need is for the Cincinnati Bengals to beat the Denver Broncos in Week 16. And if that happens, the Broncos are guaranteed a minimum of 3 losses on the year, and they won't be able to deal with the tiebreaker that they hold against the Patriots. And then if you keep going down the different tiebreakers, if the Patriots win out and then the Bengals win out, then they kind of tie on a bunch of these different levels. And it kind of goes down to the 4th and 5th tiebreakers, which are strength of schedule and strength of victory. And the Patriots hold the edge over the Bengals in those categories. So if the Patriots do their job, win out for the rest of the year, the Bengals can still win out for the rest of the year, and the Patriots will have the inside edge on home field advantage.
Yeah, and the Bengals, I think if I remember from the article, also play Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, actually, Pittsburgh is a big key for the Patriots, where, I mean, the Steelers have been absolutely on fire. Their offense has been doing a fantastic job. They just pasted the Indianapolis Colts this past Sunday night. And so they're actually in the middle of a streak where they're playing 3 straight AFC division leaders. So they played the Colts this week. Next week they play the Bengals. The following week they play the Broncos. So if the Steelers can help out the Patriots a little bit with 2 more wins in a row, then the Patriots will be in great position to, at a minimum, get a bye week out of it.
Read all about it, patspulpit.com. Rich Hill, as always, great stuff. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
4:30 here on Downtown, your Boston.